Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. So of those songs, what do you think is his least favorite? Now we had You're the Inspiration, Achy Breaky Heart, Groovy Kind of Love, Kokomo, You're Beautiful, and Hello. I say James Blunt.
You know, when you read him out, he scoffed particularly hard at You're the Inspiration. So that was my guess.
Okay.
Well, I hate You're the Inspiration.
Yes.
I hate it. It's insipid. Mm-hmm. But it's not the worst thing Chicago's done.
Okay.
Not the worst thing Peter Cetera has done.
I'm removing it from competition here. It has now been released from competition. Yes. Okay.
What's next?
Well, Achy Breaky.
Lionel Richie, I don't expect much from Lionel Richie, and I don't get much. So I will eliminate that from the worst.
Eliminating Lionel Richie, he's gone.
Achy Breaky Heart is kind of a ripoff of an old song musically I thought of called Tulsa Time.
Oh, I love Tulsa Time. I know Tulsa Time.
Tulsa Time.
Eric Clapton. Right? Didn't he do a version of that?
Yeah, but I think an older, like, gut bucket country performer did it before that.
Don Williams did
might
Tulsa
have been.
Time. Live, I used to play that at Kickin' Chicken.
It's a fantastic country song.
I loved it.
So, for that alone, I will knock Billy Ray Cyrus out of the worst spot.
All right.
Which brings us to...
Oh, God, he hates all three
Phil
of these.
Phil Collins.
I'm looking at these, though.
Beach Boys.
Oh, God, all three of them. Man, he hates Kokomo.
Yeah.
He hates it.
I mean, Phil Collins did an awful job with an awful song, so I'll eliminate that.
Okay.
Which brings us to two.
Jeez.
God, and I'll tell you, I love Kokomo. Kokomo is my favorite Beach Boys song. Late to the party, I know, but I loved Kokomo, yes. Mm-hmm.
James Blunt. I hate his lyric. Mm-hmm. I hate the song. I hate everything about it.
Yep.
But he only did one song.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That means...
And that means there's no escaping.
Wow. I should have seen that coming. Because they've done such a great body of work.
Giant Beach Boys fan. This is such a betrayal of everything.
And
everywhere you go in the summertime,
you hear it.
You hear it.
And
there's
it's
no escaping it.
Enormous hit for them.
Enormous.
In like 88, something like that.
I mean, this is up there with Sloop John B. and, you know, all them other Pet Sounds songs. This is perfect, man.
Huge.
Don't get his microphone off.
Huge.
If you don't, I will.
Oh, we have to lower his microphone. Here's the James Blunt story. Now, this is fascinating.
We sent Rachel out of the room.
Oh, we did.
You want to tell her?
I was going to tell her that. It's a good James Blunt story. I remember I asked it on Put Up or Shut Up Rock and Roll Trivia, and Biggie said that's one of the best questions we've ever, most interesting things. He put it in his autobiography.
It's depressing.
It is depressing. He wrote an autobiography. The actress who played Princess Leia.
The great Carrie Fisher.
Carrie Fisher went to his house one night. They had done drugs together before. They were friends. She was in London and just knocked on the door unexpectedly and said, "Do you have any cocaine?" And he did. And they did cocaine. And 2 days later, or like the next day, she left and she had a stroke and died. And he said, "I live with incredible guilt because I should have sent her away. I knew she had had a lot of substance abuse issues. I should have sent her away. And because I didn't, I blame myself in many ways for her death." And
wow.
Whoa, really? I mean, really surprising.
Do we know if he's 100% clean now? Or was that a wake-up call?
In the book, he said it was.
Much about him.
That was a while ago, but in the book, he said that was a wake-up call for him, that he was getting clean or was clean now, but that the guilt he lived with, like a survivor's guilt sort of thing.
Because naturally.
He knew she had had so many issues with drugs and yet gave them to her anyway.
I think almost any addict would say the same thing, though. That's that's how the drugs talk. That's how they work.
That's right. But he's like, basically, if I could do one thing different in my life, I would go back and not give her those drugs, because he does blame himself for her death.
You know, there's a weird connection there between two other celebrities. The Olsen twins may or may not have given Heath Ledger the painkillers that he overdosed on.
Is that right?
One of the Olsen twins' painkillers were found at his death scene.
Really?
Yes.
Legal for her.
Legal for her, but because he was in the middle of doing the Joker, which he got into character, this depressed, manic person.
Yeah.
And I think he was taking medication, and I think they came from one of the Olsen twins.
Oh, wow. Oh, I
never heard that.
That was such a loss.
Yeah, that was terrible.
He was such a good actor. He was really good. Mm-hmm. And, man, that was tragic. Because he was in, what, early 30s or late 20s? It was terrible.
Yeah, very too young.
Way too young, of course. And wow, do you think they blame themselves?
I don't know. I don't think they've ever spoken about it publicly.
Right.
It's really kind of a small thing.
I don't see them much at all.
No.
I mean, even the tabloids and the inside editions leave them alone.
Totally disappeared. I think they wanted that. I think they wanted to be away from anything.
They grew up on TV.
And they have their clothing line or whatever, so they've got their money. And
still? Who's buying it?
I don't know, but I've heard they're like...
I mean, I guess people still watch... Kids still watch reruns of that show.
Yeah.
But they have a, don't they have an adult clothing line?
I think so, yeah.
And
okay.
Yeah.
Their sister, she's a huge star. Elizabeth Olsen.
Yes.
She's in the Marvel Universe. She's an amazing actress.
She's the big star now.
Yeah.
But I believe the Olsen twins made a ton of money and still do with their clothing. Yeah. Well, sorry to depress everyone.
Yeah.
With that.
And now the worst song.
More depressing.
If you thought Kokomo was bad.
And Coke itself.
And Kokomo.
All eyes to B.B. Shea as he wraps up the week with his weekly wrap up in rap form. Are you ready, sir?
Let's do it.
Let's drop the beat.
All right. Prayers up for the big man.
Yes.
All right. Here we go. I said it looks like we've made it to Friday, my friends, but some things never change because Biggie's gone again. Yeah, everything's cool, but peace be with him. Like a white guy dancing, his heart was out of rhythm. It's all fixed now because of a cardio version. The same day Kelly wanted him back here working. The same work ethic as a 1940s German. Shout out to Elon, he knows that type of person. After a day of electric barrage, the guys made Biggie a heart montage. It was a sweet gesture, it brought me to tears. It was the nicest thing Kelly did in 53 years. We had a short week because of MLK. Then the Trump inauguration was the exact same day. Yeah, too many things that made the week seem long. And having those things on the same day, it kind of felt wrong. Kelly was back at church. He got over the hump. I bet he sticks out awkwardly like Barron Trump. Yeah, it's good for the family and it must be fine. A train wishes they were Catholic so she could drink the wine. Kelly's got no regrets if you say so. As his daughter drinks glasses of queso. Some lady out in Kansas found a tape of the station, the KRR identification. It came from the 90s, that's how it appears. Dem had already been here for like 45 years. Last night down under, Djokovic got booed. Those Australian fans, man, they sure can be rude. Novak is great and he will live another day, but now he knows what it's like to be B.B. Shea. Yeah, that's it for me today, I'll be back as well. If you don't know my name, I hope my face rings a bell.
Oh, yes! Fantastic. One of your best of all time.